www.ai.com.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
With Gene and Chris, we have Ruben Yuarte and Harry Drew, and we are talking today, at least we started talking, about the unusual happenings in Kingman, Arizona, about UFO crashes, but not necessarily crashes, but landings.
Got them both, Gene.
Yeah. Well, we started off with a landing, and we'll get into the crashing in a few moments. Ruben, can you tell us about this event that's coming up? And this is going to be just a few days after our folks hear this episode, which is being broadcast on September 9th. Ruben.
Hope you can hear me. In fact, I'm almost at my destination. I'm going to pull over, so that way I won't have to worry about driving too much here. Basically, we're having the first annual UFO Con, which is going to be held at the Marriott Hotel in Santa Clara on Friday, which is on September 14th, and then the actual conference itself is September 15th and 16th. We're going to have a number of great speakers, and I'm looking forward to listening to Christopher O'Brien and also Mr. Harry Drew. I'm very interested in the crash retrieval research, as both my co-author, Noe Torres, and I have been working on a number of cases, primarily dealing with crash retrievals along the southwest U.S. and Mexican border. Now, I also will be talking briefly about MUFON. I'm the state director for Northern California. I'm also the deputy director of investigations for international affairs. It's a title that I work very closely with our international chapter.
Sounds like quite an event. We'll look forward to seeing all these great guests. Of course, Chris will be there, and he'll be reporting back the following week on the Paracast.
Yeah, I've got my trickster hat on, Gene.
Oh, boy. Going to be fascinating then. Okay, Harry Drew, we were talking about the early events and the people who were present on site. Now, this first was a landing, but not a crash. But obviously something was damaged because it couldn't take off again, or it made no effort to take off again.
I think it was just incapable of, because I can't tell you what was wrong with it, but it sounded like from the distance it was able to continue on after having going through this triangular configuration of modulating overpowered high, who knows, they had no idea what they were doing, and so they wouldn't know how powerful the emissions were, that these scout craft, which are not interplanetary vehicles, according to what I'm being told about, as far as they come from some other place, or mothercraft, or they come from a base, and that's pretty much the sense of the whole thing. They came from a base.
So in other words, they fly big Rolls Royces to the star system here, and then they dispatch Yugos that could be brought down by radar. That's one of the things about these early crash retrieval, you know, potential cases being ascribed to dysfunctionality based on some sort of radar frequency. You would think some civilization coming light years to this planet.
I've heard that argument. Yep. I've heard the same argument, and I can only answer it this way. That's the way we think. And I'm telling you what has happened here, and because I have found the sites, and they are as they were, the day the Air Force left, I'm the last, you know, they're the last one there, I'm the next person.
Okay, you said, Harry, as they were when the Air Force left. So we're going back to 1953, okay? So we're talking about 59 years ago as we do this show.
Correct.
This is unchanged. This is out in the field somewhere? Is it this location? Wouldn't people have visited the area over the years to look at this place where a UFO landed?
I stood where it landed. Hey, have you flown on a jet airplane, commercial jet?
A number of times, yes.
Okay, have you ever heard any warnings about from the crew saying turn off your laptops, turn off your cell phones?
Right, but you know what? I want to tell you something.
All right.
Right. Nowadays, Harry, There are more I know, but I need to finish this, Harry. There are more and more reports that the airlines are considering allowing people to use their mobile equipment. And you know why? Because they really don't cause any damage. It's more of a fear than a reality. In fact,
Boeing aircraft just confirmed that there is interference, even in the shielding along the fuselage they have installed.
Well, you know what? If you look at current reports, airlines are seriously considering this. It's also reported that a lot of pilots are using iPads.
Yeah, I just flew back from Cincinnati. I was one of the principal speakers at the International Lufthansa Symposium, and they make you shut everything down on those planes.
Yes, they do. But nowadays, excuse me, Harry.
Harry,
we can't have a conversation if you keep
Harry,
you gotta let me speak, okay? We can't have a conversation if you're gonna keep talking over me, okay?
Yeah,
I understand your point, but the point is that, and you can look it up yourself, that more and more airlines are testing, allowing people to use their cell phones, use their mobile devices, even during the landing process. Use stuff like an iPad or a Nexus 7 or something. So this is not unusual. And as a matter of fact, they're coming to the conclusion that Wi-Fi doesn't hurt.
We're getting bogged down in some minutia here. Perhaps their technology was not aware, for some reason, of the adverse effects of radar on their inertial navigation or propulsion system.
Maybe so,
Chris, that
a race this advanced, able to come up with technology that allows them to travel what?
I know the argument. Suspending disbelief and trying to cut to the chase with Harry here.
Okay, let's suspend our disbelief. Our disbelief is suspended.
Of events to cover here.
Yep. I'll take off my suspenders just to prove it. Go ahead.
The bottom line, this was resolved relatively fast because the UFO crashes stopped. And it's reminiscent to the fact that when we have aviation problems, it's examined very rapidly to determine the cause so we can stop, like, the Osprey from falling out of the sky or something like that. And so it kind of fits. And a 737 flying into this, something that was so severely energized that it would kill birds in flight, living beings, could possibly affect the avionics. Well, who knows? And so I don't know that. But something happened that caused this craft to go down. They had to bring equipment in from Nellis Air Force Base and from Camp Irwin. And the sheriff and undersheriff went out the following day and spent 15 minutes trying to get past military police and were refused.
This is all really interesting. This is the good stuff here.
The point is here is that let's just admit that it is speculative to think that these craft might have been brought down by radar. We can guess that. We don't know if it's true. It's a possibility. Let's just leave it as a possibility because it may be totally other causes. It might be that this craft is built by the lowest bidder on this other planet and something broke. That happens.
Yeah, I like the interstellar ego. I like that concept.
Yeah. Something affected out of clear blue affected the flight capabilities of these craft. The other one, the recovery ultimately took, actually transpired over a 5-day period because there was nothing here to do it with. And they brought the scientists out on a General Motors 3303 military bus that had been dispatched from Camp Irwin. And they picked them up at Phoenix to take them up to the north. If you're at the mountain, it's on the northeast lower foot of the mountain where the desert meets the mountain. And on the only road that existed then. And the craft was off the road. It wasn't on the road, but they took the bus up the only road there was. And a report about what transpired and what was seen was given to Raymond Fowler in an interview in April, May 1973, 20 years afterwards. And it's very descriptive and very accurate. And part of the problem I found is there's been a lot of nobody paying attention to some of the witness statements that were already made. But the difference is I'm where I can devote time to spend literally years going up. It was 448 square miles of desert and mountain terrain here. And I got it narrowed down really fast by Colonel Stevens'
I understand that. Let's get on with more of this in a moment. We have Harry Drew. We have Ruben Uarte with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Hey, neighbors, you've seen all those crazy, wacky products on TV. The perfect tortilla, easy covers, hot booties, furniture fix, petty spin, and more. Where do you find all that stuff? You go to asseenontv.com because this is the one-stop source for all of these TV goods advertised. Find all your favorites as seen on TV. Check them out asseenontv.com. And by the way, save 10%. Here's what you do. Use the code SEEN1, S-E-E-N number 1, SEEN1. Go to asseenontv.com to order. Save 10%. Purchase this summer's hottest As Seen on TV items. Save 10%. Or call 1-866-277-3366. 1-866-277-3366. The code SEEN1 to save 10%.
Have you ever felt like the United States government knows way too much about your financial affairs? I continue to hear stories about property seizures, frozen bank accounts, confiscation of stocks and bonds. It makes me wonder if the U.S. citizen will ever again have the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Unfortunately, with the Drug and Money Laundering Act, the IRS Revenue Ruling 6045 of 1984, and the Trading with the Enemy Act and Franklin D. Roosevelt's Executive Order of 1933, some precious metal holdings are subject to government intervention. For this reason, Midas Resources has prepared a report explaining the boundaries of trading precious metals privately. Whether if you have any intention of trading with Midas Resources or not, I have instructed my representatives to give this report out free. Call for your free copy at 1-800-686-2237. When investing, always proceed with caution. Again, call 1-800-686-2237. Exercise your legal right to trade metals privately. 1-800-686-2237.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganix. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganix.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient value of fruits and vegetables, and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganix.com. Order now at Terraganix.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganix. Life's getting better.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
We have Harry Drew, who has investigated for many years UFO crashes and landings in Kingman, Arizona. And what makes this all the more interesting is that the details you're providing, Harry, are far more descriptive than anything we know about Roswell. I mean, other than the crash and some basic stuff, A lot of the other stuff is very, very highly speculative, but you're giving us all sorts of inner details about the recovery operation.
Yeah,
you
said it was a 5-day recovery process. This is all news to me. Harry, you've grabbed the old bull by the horns here. There should be tons of documentation. I know you've dug up a lot of witnesses, and we do have a pretty compelling story here, but what actually do we have in terms of government documentation about this?
I have... You say government? Are you saying secret documents? I would never admit to having secret documents if I had them.
No, I think what Chris said was government documents. Government documents. Yeah. They don't have to be necessarily secret.
I have interviews with people who forbid the use of their name for real reasons. And I in fact went to someone who doesn't want his name used, but I can give away where it is. In regard to the third one on the 24th of May, I went to the head of security for the County Court of Mojave and described an area where these two strange-looking men were taken. And I'm leapfrogging ahead, but he took me through, this is an off limits, nobody can go there for decades, and he took me through all the security checkpoints and walked me right up to the very things that I described to him. Let's go to the Red Lake crash. After the, what I call the Hualapai, H-U-A-L-A-P-A-I, Mountain, Kingman Hualapai Mountain crash, on 18 May 1953, the military finally were able to get the craft loaded onto an M-25 trailer with great difficulty and get it out of here the night, over the night of the 22nd. Prior to that, the scientists came, it was still the 21st of May, and an interesting thing happened 5-minute flight time away from them the same morning of the day that the scientists and the bus came. 8 UFOs were seen for over an hour by a 20-year military pilot, by a pilot who was contracted by the United States Air Force to train pilots at 3 airfields in the state of Arizona, and a sports editor from the newspaper in Prescott, Arizona. 5-minute flight time away from the downed,
so it was, what, like a search party?
Craft.
Like a search party was
no,
in the area?
No, they had gone out to check whether some fish had been planted for a fishing derby for youth. And they were out there just by happenstance and saw a craft. And here's the interesting thing about that. Two of the crafts were hovering, one on one side and one on the other side, and the 6 other UFOs were doing what were described by both pilots as military-style dogfight maneuvers, 5 minutes away from where the downed craft was sitting.
Oh, man. The trickster tips his hat again.
I not only have their names and dates, it was covered in the paper, I have everything, even all the way to their OBs. You know, and this is something that they saw. And it makes me wonder, I'm not allowed to tell anybody anything that I don't really know, but I am allowed a little room to speculate. And if I see 6 crafts doing dogfight maneuvers and 2 sitting in what would be like guard positions, 5 minutes away from where the Air Force has got a craft of theirs on the ground, I would think maybe they're thinking about going after it and get it. I don't know.
Yeah, and they were getting themselves all pumped up to prepare themselves for the sabers that were coming after them. Ruben, you've done quite an extensive job researching and investigating Mexican Roswell, as the title of one of your books. Does this type of scenario sound familiar to you based on your investigations on the other crashes?
Yes. In fact, I'm real fascinated with Harry's presentation, and I'm looking forward to listening to his presentation at the conference.
The research that both Noah Torres and I have been working on has dealt with crash retrievals in the Southwest. We have one that happened near Laredo, Texas, but on the Mexican side of the border that happened in 1948. Supposedly, there were two jet interceptors called F-80s who supposedly had shot down a UFO. And this document came out or was mentioned in a in the actual MJ documents. There's a lot to that story. And then we also investigated another UFO crash that also occurred on the Mexican side of the border near Langtree, Texas, where in 1955 we had the testimony of a jet fighter pilot, an F-86 fighter pilot at the time. He flew, they were flying escort for B-47 bombers, and this object appeared over their flight formation, and he followed the object. He had permission, and he saw the object crash on the opposite side of the on the other side of the border. So we have his testimony, and that's what we call that book, The Other Roswell. I need to go back to the first case that I shared with you, the 1948 crash. When we did some research, we actually wrote a book. Actually, Noe had presented this at the Laredo UFO Festival, and the title of that book is called Fallen Angel. But we're starting to see a pattern here, Christopher, and as you're listening to Harry about the crash retrieval teams that are sent out immediately, and then the cover-up that takes place. Then, of course, is the Mexico's Roswell that we were involved in, an object that collided with a small airplane over the desert of Chihuahua, Mexico, in a little area known as Coyame. And basically that was an object that collided with an airplane, and the Mexican soldiers went to retrieve the airplane. They found the disc. But these guys all the soldiers were exposed to something. They all died at the scene. And they were being watched by U.S. surveillance, which resulted in helicopters leaving out of Fort Bliss and went to the crash site. They retrieved the saucer, took it back to the U.S.
Close to the zone of silence is this, that confluence point between Tabasco, Chihuahua, and Sonora.
Yeah, actually, there's a lot of crazy anomalous areas. I mean, the zone of silence, that's Mexico's Bermuda Triangle.
We'll have to go into what that means and what is going to signify in a moment. With Ruben Yarte and with Harry Drew, with Gene and Chris, you're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP. As slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
September is National Preparedness Month, or as we like to call it, Preptember. So cash in on Preptember savings at BePrepared.com. Going on now, save 21% on freeze-dried mozzarella cheese. Save 25% on five of Mountain House's most popular freeze-dried meals. Save 30% and learn how to make bread from scratch with the Wheat Cooking Starter Kit. Save 36% on the new LRP Entree Combo. And save a whopping 46% when you buy 10 or more packages of MRE Peanut Butter. All at BePrepared.com. Plus, new for Preptember, freeze-dried yogurt bites in five delicious flavors. And Provident Pantry non-fat dry milk is specially priced this month. As always, check out the Emergency Essentials Group specials during the Preptember sale, now through September 30th. Call 800-999-1863 for exceptional customer service and BePrepared.com's low price guarantee. That's 800-999-1863. The choice is clear. Be unprepared or BePrepared.com.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
Ah, the zone of silence. Some people who listen to the show would prefer that Chris and I engage in silence, and we are silent when we have people like Ruben Yarte and Harry Drew on hand to handle the
heavy Harry, man, you've really jazzed me on the Cayman case. I really don't know that much about it. I really am looking forward to speaking with you about it. And also the same, Ruben, I think it's really important work you guys are doing. Obviously, Harry, you have really spent the time in the archives. You've done your digging. You've got your research down. And really, my hat's off to you, to your efforts. And you too, Ruben and Noe.
Oh, thank you very much.
Ruben has left the building.
I'm right here. Do you hear me now?
Well, Harry, I mean, I'm sorry I interrupted. We wanted to get Ruben in here. We've been dodging traffic lights and dead spots, trying to keep Ruben on the line. I wanted to include him. You guys are both, like I said, doing really good work. And the Kingman crash, though, is a standalone event. We do have a number of eyewitnesses. You've been able to land some really good sources. Wendell Stevens, you know, we could have a whole show just on Wendell. But in terms of the actual events that you're describing, this could be a real dark horse case, I think, in the annals of crash retrievals. Why don't you talk further about the Hualapai Mountain event, and you were in the midst of describing the recovery process there. Why don't you continue?
All right. Thank you. I really enjoyed listening to Ruben, and he hit on something that I had suggested before, that some of these early crashes, and my consulting engineer, who I mentioned to you before, said he didn't know if it was an experimental craft or a UFO really there when he went with me to do drone flights so I could get like six camera position angles to be able to look at the ground at 10 feet, 50 feet, 100 feet, and 300 feet so I could really see what I need to see. And
he said whatever it was, the government swept it under the rug. And it's really obvious where the craft was sitting. I don't know why, can't tell you why, but the normal background radiation there is 5 times higher than like if you walk 50, 60 feet away from what was really sitting. And it wasn't damaged, so I don't know, maybe it's sewage from the craft. How would I know? But for some reason, it wasn't damaged. They had problems. It was sitting at an angle, and they had problems trying to get it up on the M25 trailer, which was built for tanks. And Bill Uhouse, who is deceased, talked about the same craft because he stated he saw the craft when it got to Groom Lake. And that's where the reverse engineering story came from, and then the birth of what we would call Area 51, at least in the stories. I did not research all of that. That's any more than when Wendell handed off the crew. They didn't have a need to know about anything else that was allowed or gone on with the crew. You just cut off from the information. So they went to load the UFO, and they belted it up with a boom to swing it over onto the trailer, and it would not move. They could lift it up, but they couldn't swing it. Now, this is from the late Colonel Stevens. They had to back the trailer, an M25 tank transporter trailer, underneath it and set it down, and they were afraid that it wasn't going to move from there. This is after they overcame the problem of a tone from the craft that was causing them to have headaches and throw up.
What are we talking about here? Are we talking about actual weight, or are we talking about some gravitational field effect?
The craft remained at a tilt. Okay, when they set it down on the trailer, remember again, as told to me, and I mean, I'm a historian. I have to take what I'm told, and then I have to present that in a way everyone understands as told to me.
Let me make sure, Harry. I understand. When they put that craft down on the trailer, it remained in the air at a tilt.
It sat like it was sitting on the ground, and it had. I did soil porosity tests there to determine why it was 20 inches in the ground. And the engineer that was on site that night, given 15 to 20 minutes only to inspect the craft, was told he was to determine the rate of fall and the forward speed at the time of impact to the ground. And he came up with a number like 20 FPS. 20 feet per second rate of fall. Well, you can take a spoon and hold it in your hands for that and drop it, and it immediately goes to 32 feet per second per
second. Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. He said that in his report. This doesn't make sense because this thing should have been ripped to pieces from the forward speed, but the fall rate is below what's natural. And so it had some kind of propulsion or something and maybe a stability.
Now, this is all according to Wendell. Do we have any documentation to establish these facts?
This is taken from the report taken by Raymond Fowler in an interview with the specialist. He in turn
This is Ray's work. Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering this is Wendell's description of the scene.
No, it's Arthur Stenzel.
Okay. Oh, I understand. All right. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Continue.
Who was? Yeah. And just think, you know, physicist and all of that stuff. Anyway, the craft was loaded onto the trailer, and it didn't settle all the way down like gravity would normally make something just lay flat. So they propped it up for sure it would fall when they started to move, and they took it out of here. I know the direction it went. And the Corps had, the engineers had a barge ready, and they put it on a barge above the dam up on the Colorado and took it from there straight up, you know, to Groom Lake. If you've been up that direction, it's incredibly easy to do it that way. And if you've got somebody there with a barge.
Yeah, I mean, that's a straight shot from Kingman right up to Hoover Dam. Gene, have you ever heard of that type of gravitational effect ever in a recovery operation? That's really amazing.
That's very unusual. I think part of the thing is we don't hear of anything in so-called recovery effects more than just putting a craft on a truck or a trailer or something and taking it off. This almost sounds like the scene in the movie Independence Day, where without the tethers, the craft would float. at Area 51. Remember that scene?
Yeah.
Which,
it's funny how art imitates life, right?
Huh?
Well, maybe the people who wrote the script for Independence Day heard about Kingman.
Oh, yes. Right. So anyway,
so we're all ears, Harry. Yeah. This is great. This is good stuff. I can't wait to talk to you later about it.
Okay. Area 50, you want to hear about the red light crash? So everybody knows it's in Kingman, Arizona. Everybody seems to think it's the one over in New Mexico. And there probably is one in New Mexico. The red light crash occurred 4 days later on the 22nd. And the other craft already was gone. And it was handy because the recovery team, part of the recovery team was still here. And the other one came down. It had the same kind of a problem going from north to south. That was a flight path of both crafts. Actually, all three crafts. It was three. And it clipped the top of a butte. And an aviation historian and museum curator told me about it, that it went down at Food Tank, and there was someone connected who counseled people that work at Area 51. Okay, that was his job. And so just kind of like on the QT said, it was at Foo Tank. That's a word in Arizona for a dirt dam with a reservoir behind it of water for livestock and wildlife. And he found Foo Tank on the map and then found it on the ground. And I went with him out there, and he had found nothing. And I did the same thing with my consulting engineer. We did drone flights in the area, and I got to see it in a way people don't. They can't see. And I found the impact scar where it ricocheted off the butte, overshot the reservoir, and crashed on the other bank. And then
we'll get into more of the crash at Kingman that Harry Drew is referring to. We have Ruben Yorte joining us with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Whether it's personal mail, whether it's business email, you want reliable, dependable delivery, freedom from spam, freedom from viruses. Well, Polaris Mail offers professional email hosting services for your personal or small business use. Each account uses 25 gigabytes of storage, an easy-to-use webmail interface, and full mobile sync. Sign up today for a 30-day free trial at PolarisMail.com, PolarisMail.com.
So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I had already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA, and are built to last a lifetime, using heavy-duty thick-gauge steel, and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135, and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984, or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984, or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood-use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
That's the sound of your door being kicked in by an intruder with a single kick. That's the sound of the same door now protected by the Door Sentinel at MySafeDoor.com. Go to MySafeDoor.com right now and watch the amazing video. At MySafeDoor.com, you'll learn how to turn your home into a fortress with the Door Sentinel. 16 kicks later, and the Door Sentinel is still holding strong. MySafeDoor.com. That's MySafeDoor.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. That bears repeating. Digestive health is the key to wellness and elimination of toxins. And Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM-1 is a powerful liquid probiotic, strong enough to cleanse, gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM-1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, contains all natural and certified organic ingredients, contains no preservatives or animal products, supports a healthy digestive and immune system, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, aids in controlling yeast infections, is never freeze-dried, and uses three groups of live, viable, beneficial microbes to cleanse and remove toxins. Order Pro-EM-1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TerraGanix.com, Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM-1, the raw probiotic.
Hi, this is Ted Phillips, listening to the Paracast, and it's as good as it gets, believe me.
We have Harry Drew, who has been many years studying the crashes over at Kingman, Arizona. Ruben Yorte joining us with Gene and Chris in the Paracast, and we were immersed in a very lengthy conversation with Harry. Please continue.
Yeah, it's fascinating stuff.
Oh, okay. I can't talk because I'm hearing multiple things going on. Anyway, the Red Lake crash 19 miles north of Kingman, Arizona. Red Lake is right there. It was right on the southwesterly end of what is called Red Lake. And it overshot a reservoir Arizona called Futan. And two of the crew survived the crash. Four of the crew survived. Two were severely injured, taken to Nellis, and died, or at least...
Hold on, Harry. Hold on before you go any further. How do we know this?
How do I know this? First off, it comes from long-since-deceased rancher Leonard Neal, who was approached by a convoy of military vehicles who offered to provide them assistance because he, along with most of the family, watched this thing go down. And first thing that happened is the military barked at him to just stay where he is, go in the house and not come out, because the military was aware. And Wendell Stevens, once again, was aware of this, and Bill Uhouse was aware of this, and he talks about it in an interview that I have where it crashed along in alignment with what is called the Surbat Mountains, which is exactly where it is. And from the family, and I had this information as late as, now remember, I am not, people that I mention, agencies are not endorsing my work. They never do that, especially for government. But I had in July, as late as this July, BLM confirmed the fact that not only does the family, which is very large because it was like a cattle baron back from the 1882 and took over the area and mostly friendly and everybody's a cousin, and so it's in-house secret, basically, and the man I was speaking with at BLM is one of them, and the aviation historian is another, and then, of course, he did, because he's a historian and a curator, he did interviews with his own relatives about the same thing, and they're going, oh yeah, this is this way. It's so common knowledge with the elderly, really older people here. I was stunned. I was doing a stand-up film thing down by the 1910 courthouse on a Sunday to have some quiet, and a gentleman with two grandchildren came out of the church next to the building and came over and asked what I was doing, and he said, oh yeah, and he was telling me things I hadn't even heard yet.
you know, it was amazing. And so it's like they aren't going to talk, and that's explained. And both the first thing that I'm releasing, Hidden in Plain Sight, The King of UFO Crashers, which is a pre-release ahead of Paranormal Approach, The King of UFO Crashers, which right now is being considered for some other things beyond just my doing a documentary DVD on it. So, I have, 15 witnesses, along with Bill Uhouse, along with the late Colonel Wendell Stevens, and I feel that there's enough information based on that, and the fact, after inspecting in my field work.
Harry, I know that this is going to get confusing, but there's so much minutia here that we have to kind of step back and look at this. Okay, once again, we have the original incident you told us about, which was basically a landing but not a crash, but it seemed that the craft was unable to take off again. And then we have a crash you're telling us about now. How many total incidents are we dealing with in Kingman?
No, he got back. He was beyond the second one. He was talking about the third one.
It's not my fault. I went looking to see if there had ever been a Kingman crash, because the stories are there was, and the stories are there aren't, you know, or never was. And so what happened was, and if you listen to the story, even from the witnesses and the information that I'll present, is that there were two crashes that were known. And over the years that went by, they were blended into one crash. And the description of the location and stuff was blended. And then finally, in the last 15 to 20 years, the exaggerators have eliminated the craft altogether, and there was nothing. And, but there were two crashes, one on the 18th. Well, I'm sorry. There was a landing of a flying saucer. That's what they call it. Okay, and so it isn't unidentified, and a flying saucer elongated 30 feet in length, approximately 18 feet in diameter, 14 feet in the center cupola of the craft as far as height versus width, and which I have drawings of from the scientist that was there, and the other craft went down 4 days later on the 22nd, or 5 days later, actually 4 days later, and then, if that isn't enough problems for people living in a 3,500 member population town of Kingman, Arizona in 1953, a third one comes along, and it's like the 24th of May, and it slams right smack into the north face, coming from the north, going south, hit the north face of the Hualapai Mountain and instantaneously set it on fire. And which the response is they've got to put the fire out. And at the scene of the fire, two men inappropriately dressed for the area and strange looking by description by even the local newspaper were apprehended. And they were escorted by a Forest Service worker to the sheriff's office in the 1910 Mojave County Courthouse basement, which is below grade, meaning there are no doors or windows to the outside. It is a cast-in-place, concrete and steel-reinforced structure that still stands. It has a ceiling, which would be a floor on the next floor above, of about 14 inches thick concrete, all sidewalls, no way out, and it was the sheriff's office with four deputies and three, and there were locked doors, two doors to get in and out of the main area. These two people, two strange-looking men, were put in was later called an interrogation room. They called it a detention room at the time, locked in because the sheriff wasn't there. This is like Mayberry, and he's down at the stream fishing or whatever. I'm just teasing. We had a big job.
So what happened? Cut to the chase, brother. Cut to the chase. What happened?
Yeah, what happened? They got the sheriff. The two guys are locked in the two strange-looking men are locked in a room. The Forest Service worker sits on an oak bench outside the door, which is there at this moment. I have photos of that. And the sheriff came up. He was briefing what happened, told him to open the door. They stepped in. Nobody was in that room. They would have
I love it,
Gene. Passed.
Gene, there we go. It's a trickster.
Yeah.
Of course.
That document is from the museum here. And made front page as far as the strange-looking man brought down and the whole thing. The interesting thing to me, because I won't share this story yet because it'll be with Terminal Approach, is this happened another time, and there was a different kind of response. But this time, the sheriff did nothing. He didn't have them seal the building, close off the roads, there weren't many, to Kingman, and issue an APB. Nothing. It was like, let's all go have dinner. And two guys, they're identified, they're in the UFO file at the museum. And they just vanished off the face of the earth. I can't tell you how.
Vanished off the face of the earth. They just disappeared. They beamed up. They said, Scotty, beam me up.
Yeah, they got past a guy sitting at the door. They got past four deputies. Went out three locked doors.
Yeah, I love
nobody
when Scotty's there right on, you know, right at the end of the episode. Boom, Scotty, get us out of here. Boom.
Yeah, or, you know, there I go. I can't do that. A person might speculate that they were sending a message out to the people, you know, like the Forest Service worker and the deputy, we aren't the droids you want. Or something, you know, right out of like what you see in a science fiction with Star Wars.
Right.
I don't know.
I'll tell you what, I know this, that we're talking to Harry Drew and Ruben Yorte with Gene and Chris until we beam up. And I know some of our critics have said that we should have beamed up a long, long time ago. You're in
the Paracast. America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit and carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
What's safer and cheaper than prescription drugs?
Glad you asked. The answer is Renovation Teas. Herbal remedies are much safer and much cheaper than prescription drugs. Taste great, and most importantly, herbal teas are effective and non-addictive. Renovation Tea is especially unique, and here's why. We spent years researching herbs and their beneficial properties. Renovation Teas uses only 100% organic, fair trade herbs. Our teas are blended towards specific ailments and health conditions, such as diabetes, blood pressure, anxiety, libido, detox, and much more. All Renovation Teas are formulated and hand-filled in Arkansas. Take care of yourself naturally, the way Mother Nature intended. Order Renovation Teas at renovationtea.com or call 870-784-3121. That's 870-784-3121. Renovation Teas. Renovate your health one bag at a time.